Good morning and God bless you all. As we come here in the Heart of Christ Church, we want to welcome you because we know, and I pray you know, God is good.
All the time.
And we also know, hold to, and believe that God has called us with three commands. And those three commands are the vision of this church and the mission of this church to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And so by doing, we hold to the entirety of the scriptures. For all of the scriptures is summed up in these three commands. And as we submit ourselves to them, we also submit ourselves to the Word. Amen, church. Because the Word is God, and to love God is to love His Word. So today, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. I'm going to be preaching today on having the attitude of restoration. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read through 4. And 9. Your bulletin says 4 and 8, but it's actually 4 and 9. I messed up when I wrote it down. And that's a lot of scripture. That's over a chapter. How long do you think we're going to be here? I promise I won't keep you that long. But we're going to go over some of this because there is so much in here to unpack. And I want us to understand just a bit of what's being spoken here in regard to the attitude of restoration and having that attitude within ourselves. As the Apostle Paul begins here, I think it's funny because we all look at this a little differently. But let us turn to the Word. For from verse 1 in chapter 3, we read these words. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. To write you the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is by the law found blameless. How many of us does that sound like? I think it's funny because we all look at that and say, oh, but no, Paul was saying, you know, that's what he was before. No, he's saying that's who he is because that is who he is. That's still Paul. And what he's reminding us there of is the fact that we could say, well, I'm a deacon and I'm the head of this and I'm the head of that and I do this and I do that. And Paul is telling us that's all rubbish. You can be and do and say all this stuff, but do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, the church is full of people who want the titles. How many of you want the titles in this church? You all know what it means when you got the titles in this church, don't you? Miss Marion's over here chuckling. Brother Wendell was here chuckling. That's my elders because they know. Miss Susan, how much responsibility does our worship leader have? A lot. No, a lot. Because we understand it's not about us, it's about Him and our giving of ourselves to Him. And that's what we're teaching the church. It's not about having the titles and parading this stuff around, okay? I have to laugh. Pastor David's not here right now. And in our office, you know, behind my desk, there's a clock because time is running out, okay? But on the side of David's desk is his diploma from Masters, his certificate from Masters, his license from the church, and his certificate from the EA. And I just looked at that because it reminded me of the sermon this morning. You know, how many of us put up all the knickknacks to show everything we've ever accomplished? What do they mean? Absolutely nothing, because when you're dead, they're going to burn that crap. Who's going to want it? And that's what we need to remember. When we die, this stuff all burns. It's gone. What lasts? What did you know of Jesus Christ? What was your relationship about? And how does that last? It lasts in the lives of other people. It just so amazes me. Now, you know, I picked on Pastor David, but for him, that was a big accomplishment. And it is a big accomplishment. And we should be grateful to the Lord, because I know David doesn't put that stuff up there to say, oh, looky at me. No, he's saying, look what God did. I'm an old fart, and look what he did. And we all need to remember that. God can use us no matter where we are if we stop looking at the things we've done and start looking towards the things that he's doing and how he wants to use us. Because then Paul goes on, and you know, I love what Paul says. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God and is based on faith. And that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you think Paul believes in progressive sanctification? You better believe he does. That's what he just told us. He's pressing on. He's moving forward. He's looking at these things behind that he was all proud of, and now he lays them down because they are but rubbish unto the Lord. Because they were simply works. And for him, works done in a wrong manner. And I'm going to tell all of our Christians out there, and I'm going to tell all of the world out there, you can hang on to what you consider a just cause, but is it God's justice? Is it God's word that you're holding on to? Is it a relationship with a Lord who is into redemption and restoration? Or is it about you and what you can do? And I think it's amazing because, man, I'll guarantee you, if you all were here yesterday, you saw what all of us could do in Christ Jesus, because it was not about any one of us. Can I get an amen out of the church? You know, yesterday, as I said, you know, it was awesome to be here with the Evangelical Association and to allow these people to gather together again and to worship. Miss Susan, how was the music yesterday? It was that loud. I could feel the vibration. We were singing Holy, 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 first song out the gate, and I could feel the vibrations in my chest. I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Yep. I mean, it was power, not because of any one individual, but because the Holy Spirit was in the house. Is he in the house today? And you better believe he's in the house today, because this is the heart of Christ. And who is the heart of Christ but the Holy Spirit moving even him, our Lord and Savior? And as we submit to him and as we turn to him and we lay aside all these things, you know, that doesn't mean that you forget it, okay? If you look, if you've got a study Bible, if you look at the footnotes, it actually says that. I'm going to look at it here. 3 and 13, forgetting, not losing all memory of his sinful past, but leaving it behind him as done with and settled, okay? How many of us keep bringing up the past? I'm going to ask the husbands here to tether on their wives. And I think it's funny because Sis is looking at me right now and she's like, I ain't got one. But you got him and he's got you, amen? We all need to remember, if it's done, if it's past, where is it? Paul says it. I consider it but rubbish. It no longer means anything to me because now we need to press on toward the goal, toward the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And as we do that, we're going to get closer to him. You know, we're still in Easter season. That's why everything's white up here yet, and we still have our banners up. And I want us to remember, during this time, this is when everything's growing. How many of you love spring? You know, we're halfway through spring, you know, it's starting to get old. Yeah, now we're waiting for summer. Would you slow down a little bit? I'm 63. I don't want to be 64. Slow down a little bit. Involve yourself in the things of your everyday and what God's doing right now with you, in you, and in our world. Because, man, when we just barrel through it, oh, I just want to get through this day. How many of you have ever said that? Just want to get through this day. It's tough. I just want to get through. You're wishing your life away. Paul says here, and I think it's funny we read it, but we don't read it. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his what? Sufferings. Being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We need to understand the sufferings that we go through are meant to build character and character, or meant to build perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And in that hope, we will not be disappointed because we hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And oh, what a glory that is. Because that is the hope of restoration, that we are being brought back to the image of Christ, an image that was taken away. You know, I spoke yesterday. I told the folks that, you know, we are all created in the image of God. Do y'all believe that? Humankind was created in the image of God. We were procreated in the image of Adam. That's why we have a sin nature. However, that original image is still there, but it's locked up. Why is it locked up? Because of sin. But through Jesus Christ, he releases us from that sin. That's our past that we need to get over. That's the past that we need to leave behind and press on toward the goal to which we are called heavenward in Christ Jesus. And as we begin to do those things, we're going to see a change in ourselves and in our world that will truly bring about a glory in your lives. You know, I pick on Miss Jen all the time because she's the one that, she's the dear saint that says, he will not steal my joy. How much stuff have you gone through, dear sister? A lot. Guess how much more is to come? A lot. See, there's a woman with reality in her brain. And I'm telling you, we all understand that. We all know it. There's more coming, but it's not over, is it? And our joy's not over, because as we go through these things and we come out the other side, we get to look back on it and smile and say, looky what God did. And I simply got to be there. But how many of us are going to mumble and grumble and moan and bark and bite the whole way through it? I think it's funny because if you don't think I do that, you're wrong. I put my pants on one leg at a time too. And sometimes I put the leg in the wrong leg hole, so I got to take them off and put them back on. We're all human, aren't we? But it's a process. It's something that we've got to work, and God wants to work at it with us. Because as we're working with him, as we're struggling with him, as we're going through that trial, as we're going through that, we're learning more about him every day. Because did he not suffer for us? I want you to think about the Garden of Gethsemane. How many of us understand the pressure that he was under? You know, I watched a program on this some time ago, and they actually had Jen, what's a blood doctor called? Hematologist. They had a hematologist there, and he was explaining what Jesus went through, the varying things that would have had to have happened to him in order for his blood to hemorrhage through his skin. And I was just like, because it was not just a once and done thing. It didn't just happen. This thing took time. Remember, how many times did he go back to prayer in that garden? 3 times he went back to prayer. And every time he went back, the pressure increased. The pressure increased, and things were getting worse and worse. They said, to the point where you start bleeding, your internal organs are literally failing. Okay? When you're bleeding externally, your internal organs are failing. And that is excruciating pain. And yet he didn't cry out. What did he cry out? Thy will be done. And they came and took him away. Well, guess what? Jesus is coming to take us away, but it's a whole lot different. Can I get an amen? Because it's a going away unto glory. Because we're going to let behind all this stuff. And guess what? We will not remember it anymore. So I get to praise Jesus. Because that is the truth of who he is. He is setting us up to receive everything he himself went through and to live in glory, completely and totally changed forever. That's the attitude of restoration. Look at it, smile at it, laugh at it, and move on, because we know there's a better day a-coming. Can I get an amen? But don't push the hours by. Experience what God wants you to experience, because as you do, it's going to change you, and it's going to help change our world as we affect change in one another. And that change comes as we all come together to stand around one another. You know, Pastor David's not here today. Guess why he's not here today? When he left yesterday, that man was wiped. And I asked him, I said, are you doing okay? And man, I mean, he was flushed. And I said to him, go home and rest. He said, I plan to. And I just think it's amazing, because he poured it out. He poured it out. And that's what God wants all of us to do. Brother Mitch knows. Did he? Yep. Because how many of you noticed Brother Mitch walking with a cane now? We need to lift Brother Mitch up, because his body's trying to put him down, and we know a Lord that can restore him. We got a young sister over here that needs some restoration. How about it, Miss Teresa? Amen. Amen. We need to pray for her that they get this MRI done so they can figure out what's going on with her knee. Okay? And then we got to keep your heart good.
Praise God for
all prayers. Amen. Amen. And praise God for your wonderful attitude of restoration. Because I'll guarantee you, she's moved out of her home and she's now over in Juniper Village. How many of you want to move out of your home and go into a nursing facility? Talked with her just the other day. I've already told my son, when it's time to go, I'm signing myself in. He ain't going to have to sign me in. I have already learned. I've been a pastor for far too long. So too many people fight it. Would you stop fighting? You're going to get old. And then we're going to check out. Can I get an amen? Because that means we're going home. So make the ride the most enjoyable. Get your mind right. Prepare for these things so that when they come, you're glad to do them. I can't wait to get rid of all my junk. Right now, I just trip over it because I'm tired of moving it. I'm going to give it all to Russell and let him deal with it. How many of you know that's what happens? Mom and dad pass away and we got to clean it all up. So let us join in the Lord and walk with these things. And remember, they are the joys of an abundant life, because when you're going through that, Miss Teresa had to go through her home. When you're going through that home, it brings up all the memories of everything, doesn't it? And I had to laugh because she told me, she said, man, when we moved from the big house, it was even worse. But it amazes me what we accumulate over a lifetime, both good and bad. And we need to get away from the bad and hang on to the good and move into it with the prosperity of the gospel and the restoration of our minds, that God is good and all the time, because he's not done. So he says to us from verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, those whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. He's literally telling us right there that this is the power of God to change you from glory to ever increasing glory. Can I get an amen? And in that, that's what he wants us to do. But we have to have the right attitude. And if you don't have the right attitude, God's going to check it for you. Did you read that with me? He's going to make stuff. How many of you love having to relive things 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times because you didn't get it right the first time? That's what Israel did for 40 years. How many times did they go around that mountain? Now, of course, we know they didn't go around the mountain, but they wandered in the desert for 40 years because they needed to get their minds right. They needed to get their hearts right. And because of the curse that none of those who rejected God's plan would be coming in. How do we know that to be true for us? We know it to be true. You reject God's plan, you ain't getting in. How many ways are there to get in? And his name is Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other. And we hold to that very reality. So as you see people out there living that life, follow their examples. But remember, there are many people who say they're in that life, and Paul just spoke this, that they are not living that life. There are a lot of people that go to false churches where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not preached, where a social gospel is preached, and therefore, it is not about Christ. It's about our works and how we look. And those people are destined for destruction. And we need to take pity upon them, pray for them, and evangelize them by simply living as Christ in our world. Can I get an amen? You know, I think it's funny because a lot of people think, well, I'm afraid of evangelism. Just be a Christian. That's all God asks you to be. Be a Christian. Be real. Live that life in front of these folks, because their destruction is going to come and we don't want to see it. I don't want to see any one of them go. You know, I have to tattle on people. I have to laugh. A pastor yesterday was wearing a shirt. It's one of my shirts, one of the shirts I have. It says, "Pastoral warning, anything you say can be used in a sermon." And I looked at him and I said, "I got that shirt," because, you know, I'm wearing one of my shirts. I was wearing Jesus, the Way, the Truth, the Life. And I said, "I've got that shirt." And I said, "And I use it." He said, "Oh, no," he says, "I'd never tell." I said, "I tell everybody's stories." And they just, "Yeah, Ruth's over here," and they're shaking her head. I said, "If they have said it in public, I can use it. If they tell me in private, it'll never get spoken." That's pastoral privilege, and it stays that way. But it so amazes me, because I'm out here with so many of you, and I hear your stories, I hear the things, and I laugh. I do, I laugh internally, because how much do we complain about the people out here? We all complain about them, okay? You know, you want to see complaint? Go to Facebook. It just so amazes me how much we complain. Well, how much are we praying? How much are we interacting with these people to literally help them to see what change can do and what the glory of the Lord is capable of in our lives? Because I'm going to tell you right now, that's where I want to be. Because I want to be in that power of that transformation here in verse 21. Because that transformation is going to bring about a change in me that I want, that I know I need. I can't be the image of God. I can't be pressing on towards the goal if I'm walking in my sin nature. But if I'm letting that stuff go, as it's falling off, I can be transformed. And that is the power of God to bring all things subject to himself. Man, I got goosebumps just from saying that because of what it means. Because I'll guarantee you, you would not want to be listening to this old man right now if you knew who I was years ago. If I were that same man, can I get an amen? Because in Christ Jesus, we are transformed. We are changed. And I think it's so cute, because for myself and for many of us, how many of you can be a prophet in your own hometown? Yeah. It's so hard to evangelize your family because they've seen all your mistakes. And they don't forget. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't remember them? Aren't you glad the Father puts them behind him to remember them no more? You see, I think it's funny. God never said he forgot, because God can't forget. He's perfect. But he can choose to do something we can't. But I pray we learn how. He can choose to remember it no more. And may we choose to remember it no more. And walk in the goodness of God. Because as we do, these things will come upon us. And they will come to us. From chapter 4. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Eudoa, and I urge Synecdoche," I can't pronounce half these words, "to live in harmony with the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, also with the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." What a way to end. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful benediction to what he just spoke to us. Because he's literally here telling us, you know, hey, you're going to see all the nasty stuff, but don't dwell on it. See it, understand it, confront it. But dwell on the goodness of God. Dwell on the pleasures that the Lord has brought to you. And I think this is amazing. I saw a study, and in this study, and it's a big medical study. I think it came out of, oh my heavens, what's the medical college up north? Oh my goodness. Beg pardon? Cornell. Yes, it is. Thank you. Came out of Cornell, and they said, do you know if you think on all negative things, your body will get sick? Your body will get sick. If all you do is think on negative things, you literally suppress your immune system. But when you start thinking on the positive things, when you start thinking on good things, when you start realizing and saying these affirmations of faith to yourself, the body begins to heal, because we literally set ourselves up for healing. Because when you are oppressed, your body and your entire system, your immune system, also becomes oppressed. But when you are thinking good thoughts and good things are coming your way, and you're dwelling on those things, your body, your brain literally begins to create new pathways, according to the study. Your brain begins to create new pathways. And we are being what? Renewed in our minds. God told us this how long ago? And science is just now verifying it. To me, it's amazing. God says, I want you well. Think well. No stinking thinking. Think well. See what's going on. Speak to it. Because again, we're to speak into the darkness to bring the light. Can I get an amen? But then don't dwell on those things. Don't give them power over you, is what he is saying. Remember the power you have in the restoration. Remember the power of the resurrection to change you. Remember the power that is there to bring life unto you. And walk in that power, for that power is the restoration of our souls. And that attitude will carry you through to the end in victory in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Pray with me today. Father God, every word I just spoke today is right from your word. And Lord, how can we deny it? We cannot. You want us to have this attitude of restoration, because in it we receive the power of the resurrection, that we may truly be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Lord, that's what we want. We want that goodness coming into our lives, that we can see the hope we have. And Lord, know, yes, we see it by faith, Lord. We don't see it with our eyes, but we see it by faith. And it's real, because you're real. So, Lord, begin anew in us. Walk with us. Encourage us once again. And may we pick up that banner, and may we hold it high. Because, Lord God, you are that banner. You are our hope, and you are our joy. We come to you this day, and we come to you in prayer, that you may glory in our hearts, and that you may truly, truly change us, that we may be, children of restoration in ourselves and in our world. In Jesus' holy name, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.